Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. This is an emergency edition. We were taping on a Wednesday because we watched some absolute shenanigans on the playoff committee. And if you notice the sound of my voice, I don't know if I can blame the playoff committee, but I'm battling some allergies. I don't feel great. I'm feeling pretty crappy. And Kyle, you don't sound great either, do you?
No, I lost my voice last night, and it wasn't from yelling at the TV. My wife had her weekly Bible study, and I had to watch all the kids. And so we sang Taylor Swift for like 2 hours. So that is now America knows. I love Taylor Swift, and that's why my voice is gone. And I'm feeling terrible. And what the playoff committee did last night did not help.
You also sound like you're in a hollow cave and are stapling. What is going on over there?
That's my air conditioner. You want me to turn that off?
Yeah, it's clicking, and I can't even. Do you have your microphone on? Are you just flustered from last night?
I'm rattled. Hold on, let me turn that on.
The shed is in meltdown mode.
Okay, I'm back.
You're back.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna be sweating by like 10 minutes into this, but that's okay. We're here. We're giving the people what they want.
You might sweat out whatever illness you got there from Taylor Swift Bible study. A confession. I like Taylor Swift's album. Confession. Let's just get that out right now.
Did you read the here we go. This is a great way to start this off. Did you read the Chuck Klosterman profile of her?
No.
It's unbelievable.
Do I need to?
It's so good. I mean, Klosterman, we obviously both love Klosterman, but he's just such a good, like, I think he's a better thinker than he is a writer.
Yep.
And he wrote a really, really good profile of her in, I think it's in GQ.
Okay.
You should check it out. She's really smart. She's really good at what she does, obviously.
I like her album, and I even like the Ryan Adams cover album, 1989. It's awesome as well.
That's the Spotify go-to because she's not on there.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, no one wants to hear about Taylor Swift. We want to talk about the playoff.
Yeah.
Do you want to do this? Do you want to go down? Should we just go down the rankings?
Well, I just dumped like 2,000 words on my website, so I've got, yeah, let's go down the rankings. I got plenty of ammo to talk about.
Let's just go down the rankings and go through each team and some of the preposterous things that were said about said teams.
I think that's a good way to do it.
That's the only way I can really rationalize all my thoughts. Number one, Clemson. Your thoughts on them still being number one?
That's fine. I mean, they'd be a good, not great Florida State team. I have no issues. I mean, are we sure they should be number one?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think they're a good team, but I think people are just have put them number one and don't even really look at their resume.
You want to hear their non-conference?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Notre Dame, that's obviously really good. But then we got Wofford and Appalachian State.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I guess if you schedule one good team, you're allowed to just schedule nobodies. But that's more than a lot of the Big 12 teams have scheduled. I will say that.
Yeah.
But who are their best wins? They beat Notre Dame, which we mentioned.
Yeah, Notre Dame. And
at Louisville.
Is that a good win? Is Louisville
that a
good?
Win? I don't think so.
They beat them 20-17, and then we got 23-13 over Florida State. They're a good team. I mean, to go 9-0
with a couple good wins.
To go 9-0, I think they get more credit than they deserve for beating Miami 58-0. That looks better on paper than it actually is. So yeah, I mean, they're a good team. I don't know if they're a great team.
Louisville's lost four times, by the way.
I mean, I think Alabama would beat Clemson.
I do too. If they win out, Clemson's in. We both can agree on that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to number two, Big Bad Alabama, who lost on their home field to Ole Miss, who has lost three times, is number two. Your thoughts?
Well, this gets into the criteria, I think you said this, the criteria are different for every team, or the criteria are different every week, and they're different for every team every week. Like, there's no uniformity there.
The criteria changes based on who they want to be in the playoff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they want Alabama in. Do I think Alabama is probably one of the four best teams? Yes, I do. But do they have one of the four best resumes at this point, at this week? Absolutely not. And am I being old-fashioned in that I put more credence into teams that haven't lost? I mean, I know Baylor hasn't played anybody, But I'm sorry, you lost on your home field to a team with three losses. That should count.
Well, and this gets into the – I looked this up the other day because I started thinking, what is the committee's intention? What are they trying to do? They actually have a mission statement on their website, and it says they're trying to pick the four best teams. So as a result, we get these – what is a power ranking? And college football is so fractured, and teams play such different schedules that – you get an Alabama playing a vastly different schedule than a Baylor, ranked ahead of Baylor, just because they are Alabama and because they look good. And it just it's sort of a free for all, and it's a mess, and it's always going to be like that until you have the five conference champions getting into the playoff, and then a couple of at-larges. That's just how it's going to be.
Well, and the reason they put the Tide up there is because they're Alabama and that they have some good wins. Okay, they've beaten some decent teams in the SEC, but Stuart Mandel, who I think does a great job, used to write for Sports Illustrated, writes for Fox Sports now. He said this is the worst the SEC's been since pre-2006 when they reeled off seven straight national titles. Like, yeah. The SEC stinks this year. Yeah. It's not any good. There's a few good teams at the top, much like the Big 12, and it's a bunch of rum-dums, a bunch of average teams.
There's your rum-dums again.
Sorry, rum-dums was strong. There's a bunch of average teams. Half the league wants to fire their coaches. Half the teams in the league don't have quarterbacks.
Well, look
at the SEC is not a good football conference.
Look at Florida. Is Florida good? I don't think they are.
No.
Like, I don't think – I think Florida comes to Stillwater, and they get beat up a little bit.
They beat Vanderbilt 9-7.
Yeah,
they had to kick a field goal with like 20 seconds left to win the game.
And they're gonna win the East and play. I mean, Florida has as clear a path as anyone, and I don't know if people realize this, but to the college football playoff, they beat Florida State, Bama. They're in. They're way in. They might be the number two team.
Oh, absolutely. Whoever wins the SEC title game is getting in, and it doesn't matter how many losses they have. And the doomsday scenario would be Florida beating Alabama in the conference championship game, and then they just love Alabama so much, just throwing a two-loss Alabama in there, which a lot would have to happen for that to happen. But
yeah.
Jeff Long is the head of this thing. So, all right, are we done with Bama? Do you want to move on?
I guess.
Okay, here's your team, the Ohio State. They're number three, and if Ohio State, let me get this out. If Ohio State goes undefeated, they need to be in. I will say that. But to put them in every week and to put them number three this week, to me, is preposterous.
It's stupid. Their schedule is stupid. I mean, again, the criteria, and Jeff Long said this, Matt Amelian pointed this out, I thought it was really smart. Jeff Long basically said, we think Ohio State's really good, we think they're really talented, and they haven't played their best football yet. Well, okay, that's fine, but don't put them in the top three just because you think they're good, or because you think they're going to play good football.
They're making a prediction.
Yeah, and he said, we think they have incredible talent, we think Ohio State is a team that hasn't played its best yet, we think that their best games are in front of them. Great, so do I agree, but what are we doing with the rankings every week?
Isn't that the exact same thing you could say about all the top three Big 12 teams?
Yeah.
They haven't.
Say that about.
We think they will do well. We think their best games are in front of them.
I mean,
it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same rationale.
Ohio State's schedule. I'm just going to run down this because it's an abomination. You got at Virginia Tech. That's a good win. Hawaii at home. Northern Illinois at home, which they beat by seven. Like, they squeaked by Northern Illinois at home.
They could have lost that game.
Western Michigan at home. They won at Indiana by seven. Maryland at home, Penn State at home, which Jeff Long said is their best win. Penn State in Columbus is their best win. Penn State's not good.
Penn State sucks.
At Rutgers, and then they beat – I think Minnesota is decent. They beat Minnesota at home by 14. What's good about that?
Penn State has lost three times. I just looked up their schedule. They've unimpressively beaten – a bad Big Ten schedule. They haven't even played Michigan or Michigan State, who I don't think is that great either. So this comes down to what I've feared most is that it's all brand names. That's all it is. I mean, if you put Ohio State's resume on Oklahoma State is not even eighth. They're like they're still in 14th.
And they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I think we just look at Ohio State and think, oh, they're Ohio State. They won it all last year. They got a great team. They do have a great team. But then, again, I wrote this. What's the point of playing games? Why not just let Alabama and Ohio State tee it up 13 times a year and call that the college football season? You might as well just take the top two teams that, in recruiting classes and let them play. Like why even lay it all out? It's silly.
Well, and Ohio State has to prove to the committee why they shouldn't be in, whereas Oklahoma State has to like prove why they belong.
Yeah, a million texts. We were texting about that too, and that's absolutely right.
That to me is incredible, yeah. And the committee will say or do whatever it takes to put the teams they want in there, and Ohio State is a classic example of that.
Yep.
Now, if Ohio State goes unbeaten, they beat Michigan, Michigan State, and win their conference. Okay, I'll listen. But until then, they don't need to be three. All right, number four, Notre Dame. Is there a bird? Do I hear a bird in your shed?
Could be. I got the windows open.
I hear a crow or something.
Do I need to go underground?
You might. This is something else. Notre Dame, number four. You predicted this a couple weeks ago. I got to give you credit. You saw this coming, and it's happening. If Notre Dame wins out, they're in.
Well, Kirk Herbstreit said it on Tuesday night, and he's absolutely right. If Notre Dame, they got Wake. They're home against Wake. They got at Boston College, at Stanford. They win those three games. They're not moving down. What's the committee going to move them out of the fourth spot? No, that's not going to happen. And, I mean, they played a decent schedule, I guess. They beat Texas. They beat Virginia. They beat Georgia Tech. Lost at Clemson. I guess Navy is a good win. They beat Temple. Hey, whatever. Like, it's okay. But it's just, again, like Notre Dame, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, that sounds like a hell of a Final Four, even if it's not the most deserving.
Their two big wins, Kyle, are Temple and Navy. Temple and Navy? That's what you're giving me? Are your best wins?
I don't know what to tell you. It's Notre Dame. I mean, this is, like, I feel like we're sort of trying to make this more complicated than it is, which is what you've been saying all year, and that's a brand competition more than a resume. Yeah, more than a resume competition. And I mean, that's fine, but like, it's just, I don't know.
And that's where my overall point, which I'll make later, and we'll talk more about, is just the computer BCS system is looking better and better by the second. Yeah. And Notre Dame is getting more credit for losing to Clemson than any win that they have. That to me is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you went on the road and you played Clemson. Good for you. But you lost the game.
Well, but okay, here's the thing. I was thinking about this. Do you think the committee sort of looks at this? I was thinking about Ricky Fowler's 2014 golf season. So he finishes top five in all these major championships. He has a really, really good year. But he doesn't win anything. He doesn't win a single tournament. But if you're picking like a postseason golf tournament that year, you'd probably include him in just because he was consistently really good. It feels like the committee's sort of looking at this like, well, you lost, but you were right there. You could have won it at the end. And on the flip side of that, they're saying to Oklahoma State, well, you won, but you were right there. You could have lost it at the end. And sort of picking teams not by wins and losses, but by how you performed or how you looked against the good and bad teams.
But yeah, I just.
I mean, don't you feel like that? So why do wins and losses even matter? Why would we not take an 8-4 Alabama team instead of an 11-1 TCU or Baylor?
Yeah, I agree. And then like, it's just, I favor undefeated teams more than one loss teams. I don't, resumes, what have you. I'm gonna put, for the most part, undefeated teams ahead of one loss teams. Maybe I'm old fashioned. Maybe that's just not the way to think about things. But I'm sorry. It is super hard to go undefeated. Every single year we see one or two teams total go undefeated. I'm going to reward a team that's gone undefeated as opposed to a team that played a harder schedule and lost.
I think
that's just me.
I think everyone sort of underrates also going on the road in your conference and winning.
Yeah.
I mean, Oklahoma State's this was pointed out to Jeff Long. Oklahoma State's one of two Power 5 teams that have four conference road wins at this point. They got four conference road wins. That's pretty good. You know, I know you're going to West Virginia and Tech, but West Virginia and Tech would compete in the SEC East. Like, it's not like a joke, you know?
Well, and that's, and you mentioned this, but I mentioned it like a couple weeks ago. Like, the backloaded schedule has not only hurt the Big 12 in that, well, the committee's like, well, we'll wait till you play somebody. It has destroyed the perception of West Virginia and Texas Tech. Yeah. Those are two pretty good teams.
Yeah.
I think West Virginia's pretty good. And they had to play the four big boys all in a row. You want to talk about body clocks? They're traveling from West Virginia to.
I actually don't want to talk about body clocks.
No, well, that'll come up later. Believe me, right around number seven, that'll come up. But like the scheduling has destroyed so OSU gets no credit for beating Tech, no credit for winning at Morgantown, one of the toughest places to play at night. They don't even mention it. So that not only has the Big 12 schedule hurt them in the long term as far as the committee. But it's just destroyed the middle tier teams.
Yeah, it has. I totally agree.
And hang on, Kyle. We're going to number five. Could you hear that?
Oh, I heard that.
That's the Big 12. It's time to hit the panic button because coming in at number five, we have Iowa. We have Iowa. And I'm going to tell you, I was watching this at Channel 5 with Brian Keating, sports director at KSCO, and the thought of Iowa being number five had not even occurred to us. And when it happened, we are audibly laughing our heads off. And at a certain point, we were watching it, we would get quiet, and I would just look at him and say, Iowa. And he would burst out laughing. That's how insanely funny it is to me that Iowa is number five.
Well, you've been a long-time curator of great gifts online. I think your masterpiece might have come on Tuesday night.
The Hulk smash?
That was pretty good.
Baylor would beat Iowa by five touchdowns. Oklahoma State would beat Iowa by five. We've seen Oklahoma State play Big Ten teams in bowl games. They don't have athletes. They would look at James Washington when he gets off the bus and be like, "What is that? Is that an NFL guy? What's he doing? He can't play in the Big Ten. What's he doing?"
You're not impressed by Iowa's 31-17 win over Iowa State?
That they had to pull away late with 2 minutes left? Absolutely not. Iowa, are you kidding me?
Hey, they're balanced on both sides of the ball.
Oh, and the understatement of the decade was Jeff Long.
This was great.
Asked about Iowa. He says, well, they're solid on both sides of the ball. They're not flashy, but they're solid. You want to talk about an understatement, calling Iowa not flashy. And hold on. Let me pull up the definition of flashy. Ostentatiously attractive or impressive. You're right, Jeff. They're not flashy. They are not ostentatiously attractive or impressive. And you want to talk – flashy is what you want, isn't it? Isn't Baylor flashy? They're impressive. They're smoking teams. They're averaging 57 points a game. That's like 10 points higher than second place. It's just
– well, here's the thing.
Part of me hopes Iowa plays a Big 12 team in the bowl game, and I will fly to Vegas and put my mortgage down on whoever plays them.
Well, I think it'd be great if they played like Tech and got run out of the building. But Iowa State game, it was 17-all with 3 minutes left. How about that? 17-all with 3 minutes left.
And yeah, they had to pull away.
And they scored two touchdowns. If you, I mean, the argument that you're making for Iowa is a fine argument, but you have to have played like six top 25 teams. They played Illinois State, Iowa State, Pittsburgh, North Texas, Wisconsin, Illinois, Northwestern, Maryland, Indiana. That is not remotely impressive. If you play that schedule and you hammer all those teams by an average of 25 or 30 points, fine. Like you can be in the top five. But if you're winning those games 27-24 over Pittsburgh, 31-14 over Illinois State, 29-20 over Illinois. I don't care. Like, I don't care about any of those wins.
They beat Indiana by eight, and they moved up higher than what was the stat? Than Oklahoma State?
They moved up 50% of the available spots. So there's eight spots that they could have moved up to number one. They could move up eight spots. They moved up four. Oklahoma State could have moved up 13 spots, and they only moved up six. So they moved up a higher percentage of spots than Oklahoma State did by beating TCU by 20.
I think
I did that math right. I'm pretty sure.
Iowa.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to tell me Iowa's the fifth best team in the country with a straight face? That's what they did. They insulted our intelligence. Todd Furman put out a great tweet, one of the Vegas guys. That Iowa fifth is proof that these guys don't watch the games. It's proof. And I too think like Vegas needs to like have some sort, like the Vegas odds people, they have zero respect. Iowa's not even in their top 10.
Yeah.
Like those guys watch the games closer than anybody. And they've got like, they have four Big 12 teams in the top 10. They obviously watch the games and they obviously know the Big 12 has good teams. So Iowa. Okay.
Well, I mean, the Vegas guys have Baylor, OU, and Oklahoma State. They would all be favored over Notre Dame.
Sorry. It's time to panic.
Is this the Baylor siren?
That's Baylor fans reacting to the rankings. We got Baylor at number six. Baylor hasn't played. What was the stat? They haven't beaten a team with a winning record.
Correct.
And they're ahead of Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I'm less annoyed or less concerned about the Baylor thing because I understand like the argument of you have hammered everybody. That makes sense to me. Like if Bama goes out and hammers everybody, you're number one. Like you get to be number one. And Baylor's gone out and hammered everybody. It's not necessarily their fault that they haven't played a team with a winning record. Some of those teams they've contributed, or all of those teams, they contributed to them having losing records. But at least they have torched teams on the field, and there's not this ethereal like, well, we think they're good. They got a lot of talent. They recruited good. They've actually gone out and hung 65 on everybody.
Well, it is their fault, Kyle, that they haven't played anybody. They don't schedule anyone in the non-conference, and it's clear to me the committee is trying to send them a message that, hey, you can't do this. So you have to play people. You can't just rely on going undefeated in your conference.
Yeah, but can't you say the same thing about Oklahoma State?
Yes, but Oklahoma State, I guess, hasn't been as impressive every single game. They've struggled with some teams, I guess, is their rationale. I mean, I would have OSU in the top four, but that's just me. But,
by the way, the Vegas top 10, according to RJ Bell.
Yeah.
Alabama won. So this is who would be ranked over if they played each other. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Baylor, OU fifth, Stanford, Oklahoma State, Notre Dame, TCU, LSU. No sign of Iowa.
Yeah. Four Big 12 teams in the top 10.
Yeah.
But the committee has the highest Big 12 team at six.
Four Big 12 teams in the top nine. Three in the top seven.
Yeah. I mean, that to me is the overarching point in that the Big 12, for some reason, gets no respect, even though they have some of the best teams in the entire country. It's a perception problem. Joel Klatt has been trumpeting the Big 12. He calls games for the Big 12. Not enough analysts that call Big 12 games trumpet the league.
Yeah.
You watch the SEC on CBS. It is they barely talk about the game. They talk about how great the SEC is, how many NFL players are on the field. I remember I used to throw up in my mouth watching Florida when Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson would be promoting Tim Tebow for not just the Heisman but the President of the United States. It made me want to puke. But you know what? The SEC promotes the hell out of their league.
Well,
and you watch a Big 12 game, you have Brian Griese on there basically saying that the two teams he's watching stink and don't play any defense. That to me is like the perception of the Big 12 is because of stuff like that. To me, it's disgusting.
Well, but here's the irony. Like, if you're Joel Klatt, what is your greatest job security? Your greatest job security is a billion people watching the game that you call, right?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you hype up the teams that you're calling, that your network has the rights to, which are Big 12 teams with Fox, and say, man, this is the best team in the country, you know, like whoever.
It goes back to the Big 12's TV deal. Remember when OSU played Central Michigan? You got Jason Sehorn, who knows less than nothing about Oklahoma State, saying that OSU should bench Mason Rudolph in favor of J.W. Walsh. The guy didn't know anything about OSU football, and he's doing studio for that game. it comes back to they screwed up their TV deal, and they have a perception problem. Even though they have, as we just mentioned, Vegas thinks they have four of the best teams in the top nine. For some reason, everyone else thinks, Big 12's no good because they don't play anybody in the non-conference. It's amazing to me.
You're fired up. I like this.
It's amazing to me. Kyle, college football is by far my favorite sport.
Yeah.
But this stuff we're talking about, this playoff committee, full of bias, by the way, it makes me just not even want to watch, like, not even follow it. I will, but it's so aggravating to me.
There's a part of me that thinks it makes it more interesting and more intriguing because it like, let's pretend like there was an 8-team playoff and the 5 conference champs and 3 at-larges got in. We wouldn't even be having this podcast. Like, we wouldn't be talking about, and maybe that would be a good thing. Like, maybe that's your argument, but like, it would just.
Well, we talked about it plenty when it was a BCS computer. I mean, we talked about it ad nauseum.
Yeah, but you still had to.
It's college football. We'll talk about it regardless.
But you still had to get into this sort of like slot that wasn't totally understood. If it's straightforward, like if all you have to do is run your conference, well, the Big 12 can't figure that out. But every other conference can figure out, like, okay, you just have to win the most games in your conference. Like, that's not a complicated thing. And so it doesn't create this buzz. I kind of like it. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but there's a part of me that sort of enjoys it.
It's a beauty contest, and I don't like figure skating. I don't like beauty contests. I don't want people just to go, oh, well, they look better. They got a better looking logo that I like. And real quick, let's go over who's on this committee. Jeff Long, SEC athletic director. Barry Alvarez, Wisconsin athletic director. Oh, by the way, who's Alabama's big non-conference win? Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez. Lieutenant General Mike Gold from the Air Force. Who cares? Kirby Hocutt, Director of Athletics, Texas Tech. The one voice for the Big 12 is the AD at Tech. Now, do you think he's in there fighting as hard as he can for Baylor and TCU as the AD of Texas Tech? Two teams he does not want to see win anything.
Yeah, but you can make the same argument about Jeff Long at Arkansas. I think his bigger issue is this is his first year on the committee. He's, I think, younger. And he's not he's not the strongest voice in that room. But
he's completely outnumbered.
Yeah, he's probably the weakest, actually. And I don't mean that. Like, I think I've talked to some tech guys that really like him and think he's a good athletic director. But just because he's new and younger, I think that's probably an issue. I agree with you.
He's outnumbered. And Tom Jernstedt, former NCAA vice president.
Whatever.
Bobby Johnson, Vanderbilt head coach. Who's he trumpeting in there?
Wait, the Vanderbilt head what?
Former head coach, Vanderbilt. Okay. Yeah, he's old. Bobby Johnson. Who do you think he's in there trumpeting?
Probably not Vanderbilt.
Probably not Vanderbilt and probably not Baylor. Okay, here we go. Tom freaking Osborne. Do you think wants to stick it to the Big 12 worse than that guy in Texas and all the Big 12 schools that he left? He's a spurned ex-lover.
Yeah.
Who do you think wants to stick it to the Big 12 worse than that guy? And he's on the committee? Are you kidding me?
But did we not see this coming when we formed a committee?
Oh, I had questions from the jump. It's like, wait a second. We're going to let active athletic directors who have a vested interest be on this committee?
Well, and you see that because you've seen it in college basketball, and it works because there's so many teams in college basketball. It gets a little more emotional whenever there's only four teams.
Dan Radakovich, Director of Athletics, Clemson. Huh, that's funny. No wonder they're consensus number one, and no one questions the fact they've only beaten two good teams. Condoleezza Rice.
Here we go.
Huh, how about that? That leads us to our seventh team, Kyle.
Yes.
Stanford.
Can I have the four?
Oh.
Can I have the four?
Go ahead.
Stanford, this is a joke. This was my biggest complaint about two. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, they lost to Northwestern 16-6. And the committee's like, well, they had to travel 3 hours, so we probably shouldn't count that as a loss. I don't even know what their best win is. Who have they beaten that's good? They beat UCLA by 20. UCLA is okay. They barely beat Washington State on the road. Washington State's like 6-3. They beat them 30-28. What are we doing? Like, why? Their non-conference is is they got Northwestern, UCF. I don't think UCF has won a game, have they?
I don't.
And then they play Notre Dame. Why is Stanford number 7? Why are they in the top 10? What they have a loss. Why are they ahead of Oklahoma State? What on their schedule is better than what's on Oklahoma State's schedule?
Well, Kyle, let's go over the reasons Jeff Long gave. Their body clocks were off because they had to fly from the West Coast for a night. It was 9 a.m. on the West Coast. Forget the fact that it was their first game of the freaking season, and they had 6 months to get ready for it, to get their body clocks right.
Well, but again, like,
that's
why,
a joke.
But why do we count losses? Like, why not just say, well, I don't know.
They go, well, Stanford's won 8 in a row. That's impressive. OSU's won 9 in a row this year. They've won 11 in a row dating back to last year. They beat a team that had won 16 in a row.
They smoked a team that won. It's
they bet Kyle. What they and this goes back to, they're going to put in whoever they want, and they basically set up a Notre Dame Stanford playing game, and now they will be able to justify it. They're like, well, Stanford was number 7, they beat number 4, they deserve to be in.
Yeah, I know.
They basically set up a playoff game between the two teams they want in, and that's Notre Dame and Stanford. And who else is on the freaking committee? Tyrone Willingham, former Stanford coach. Might even be a Stanford alum. Let me check.
He was also the former Notre Dame coach.
That too. Oh my gosh.
The Notre Dame problem has become, for the Big 12, has also become a Stanford problem, because you're right. And Matt Hinton, who used to write at Grantland, had a tweet about what the real rankings are, and he thinks that the Stanford Notre Dame winner will finish number 5, and the Big 12 champ will finish number 4 as long as that team is undefeated. I disagree. I don't think a 12-0 Oklahoma State is jumping an 11-1 Stanford that just beat mighty Notre Dame, or especially an 11-1 Notre Dame that just beat Stanford. I mean, we'll see more after the next couple weeks, but I just don't see that happening.
Over Tom Osborne's dead body, will OSU get in over those two teams? Are you kidding me? Plus, they can roll out there and say, well, OSU didn't play in the non-conference, and Stanford has, you know, Big 12 will have 9 conference games. Stanford will have played 10, and that will be their reason to put Stanford over them.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, they lost to the number 1 team. Sorry about you, OSU. You didn't play anybody. Because that's another thing. The Big 12 will cannibalize itself. And I think it's also absurd. I don't care if OSU has 1 loss they should be in. You've touched on this. Who is any good in the Pac-12? Stanford and Utah are the 2 highest-ranked teams.
I forgot that Stanford, if they beat, I mean, they're going to win their division. They might have already won it. They're gonna end the season with Notre Dame and Utah. They'll definitely be in over Oklahoma State with that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even – it won't even be close, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, Stanford, we've been over them and their ridiculous resume. Utah has lost, first off. Second off, they were underdogs to USC, who's unranked, terrible. Underdogs to Washington, 500 team, terrible. They happened to upset big, bad Washington, who stinks. Utah's not any good. The Pac-12 is garbage.
Well, okay, think about this. Let's talk about Stanford versus Oklahoma State. Stanford's 7, Oklahoma State's 8. And so right now, the committee's saying, we think Stanford is more impressive, better, whatever, than Oklahoma State. Look at their remaining schedule. Stanford's got Oregon at home, Cal at home, Notre Dame at home, and then Utah. Oklahoma State has Iowa State, OU, and Baylor. If both teams win all those games, there's no, like, the Notre Dame and Utah wins cancel out the Baylor and OU wins for Oklahoma State. And so you're just going to say, well, beating Oregon and Cal is more impressive than beating Iowa State. Like, there's no like reasonable way that Oklahoma State could jump Stanford over the next, you know, month. No. I don't think.
It's time to panic if you're the Big 12. It truly is. Jake Trotter wrote that.
Utah.
I mean, does Utah get in over OSU if they went out? Probably.
Not an 11-1 Utah, I don't think.
You don't think so? Okay.
I don't think so.
Well, and I'm sorry if it comes across like I'm mad or angry. Like, I'm just passionate about a conference that is really good and gets slighted for just these narratives and perceptions that are just BS. It drives me nuts. Okay. Number 8, Oklahoma State. I predicted 7th last week or before the rankings came out. You predicted 6th. What was your reaction when you saw OSU at 8?
I was a little surprised. I think My wife always accuses me of setting myself up for to not be disappointed, and so I sort of like build in a little margin there of like, well, actually, did I not? I thought I predicted seventh.
You predicted sixth. I predicted seventh.
Okay, I in my head I predicted seventh, and I was building in one.
Well, you picked sixth just to be different than me, so.
Okay, I was building in one or two spots maybe of margin from where I thought they would be ranked. I actually probably thought they would be. I don't know, four or five, probably five-ish. And So when I saw eight with Stanford and Iowa ahead of them, I thought, like, I would have been more okay, I think, with LSU remaining ahead of Oklahoma State, having lost at Bama. And I thought that LSU would be ahead of Oklahoma State. I think that's where my seventh ranking, I think I wrote that and then predicted something else on our podcast. But when I saw Stanford and Iowa ahead of them, it was just... Like, what, I mean, again, why play the games? Like, why even have wins and losses?
It was like we were being trolled.
Yeah.
It was that ludicrous.
And I think it goes back to, like, I think I should have been more upset last week when an undefeated Oklahoma State in the Big 12 was as low as 14. Because I think jumping up six spots, like, that seems like a reasonable thing for having just smoked TCU. But I think they should have been higher. I'm saying this in retrospect. I think they should have been higher in the first week.
Yeah, you're right. And they got TCU got punished way further than OSU got rewarded for that game.
Yeah.
Like, think about this, Kyle. Like, OSU could not have won that game more impressively than they did.
Right.
What happens if they're down the whole game against TCU and win on a fluke fake punt or the punt play that Michigan State won on? Does OSU even move up? Are they still at 14? Like, that to me is the most insane part. OSU could not have done more than they did, and they still were not rewarded for it as much as they should have been.
Yeah, I don't know. It goes back to the criteria. Like, how you win matters for some teams, and I guess doesn't for others.
It's amazing. Now, so we're pretty confident that if certain things fall right, if OSU can go undefeated and still not get in, that's where we stand as of today.
If certain things
fall right.
Yeah, I think if Ohio State, Clemson, and Bama and Notre Dame
went out,
I don't think it matters if it's Oklahoma State or Baylor. I think they're getting shut out.
So our old friends Oregon, we need them to beat Stanford, right?
That's true. They got them this week.
We need. Then we need Oregon to beat Stanford, then Stanford to beat Notre Dame, and then is it solved? Is that it?
Yeah, well.
That's basically it?
Iowa and Ohio State will solve. Well,
yeah, those two will solve each other.
Well, your problem might be if Iowa goes unbeaten and Ohio State loses on like a last second play in the Big Ten championship game.
Oh, yeah.
Because the committee...
They're getting in.
Oh, yeah.
They
oh,
love the Big Ten, which,
sure.
By the way, the Big Ten freaking stinks.
I mean, they would... They might see Ohio. They might move Ohio State up after that.
The Big Ten is awful. They are horrible. Aren't they the worst of the Power Five? Or ACC maybe.
Yeah. Well,
I think the Pac-12's up there. They stink.
Yeah.
But we have had Ohio State on Channel 5 the last 3 weeks as the primetime game. You want to talk about a poo-poo platter of a conference? They're playing Rutgers in prime time. They're playing Minnesota in prime time. I mean, no one's watching these games. The Big Ten is horrid. There are two good teams. Ohio State, I guess Michigan State too, but Ohio State.
Michigan's good.
Yeah, I guess.
Michigan's
okay.
Defense is really good. Their points per possession are under one. They're the only team in the country under one.
But the rest of the league is not even like competitive. Like, you got Indiana and they're trying to play football.
Did we already talk about how I feel like the Big 12 is the new ACC?
No, but that's basically what they're telling us, right?
Yeah, because you've got OU and Texas playing the part of, or I guess you've got Clemson and Florida State playing the part of OU and Texas, and then nobody even pays attention to the rest of the conference. Like, if any other team, like North Carolina has one loss and everybody's like, whatever, you know? And
yeah.
that's sort of how the Big 12 is being treated as well. And I just feel like, you know, I think it helps Oklahoma State to have OU at the very end because people pay attention to OU and they should. Like, OU is a really good program. But I just feel like the rest of the Big 12 has kind of turned into the rest of the ACC, especially with Nebraska leaving, A&M leaving. Like, it's just, I don't know.
OU is a lot like Florida State in that they play Texas, which is basically Florida for Florida State. You know what I mean? The one out-of-conference game, that's the only really out-of-conference game they pay attention to every year in that conference. OU Texas is Florida State, basically.
Yeah.
Because they're not in the same conference.
Well, but OU and Texas are in the same conference.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm flustered here. I was trying to do the analogy with you and it didn't work at all.
Were you thinking of A&M in Texas?
I guess, yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm not feeling well today. But here's the funny, like, if OU and OSU are reversed their records, OU's in the top four, aren't they?
Yeah.
If OU's unbeaten, just house TCU, Oklahoma's in the top four. And that's basically what this all comes down to, is brand names and helmets.
Yeah. And
it's Oklahoma State, so they're eighth. If it was OU or Texas, they would be in the top four.
I think that's one of the things I think people don't understand about the way all this works is we all have like this natural built-in bias about anybody. Like, I have it about Oklahoma State just because that's the way I was raised. Like, when you enter humans into the equation, they're going to have a natural bias. Like, everybody thinks in a vacuum that Ohio State football is better than Baylor football. Whether that's true or not on the field, the problem I have is when you sort of start feeding that and saying, well, Ohio State's got better athletes. But no, get out of here with that. Like, let's keep the biases at a minimum and just look at what they did on the field. And the committee seems uninterested in doing that.
Well, and you saw what the BCS computers would have, right? It was way more accurate, I think, than what the committee's coming up with.
I didn't see it. What was the top six or eight?
Oh, let me scroll through a little Twitters here. I think OSU was four. I know that.
Okay.
And it was pretty close. They still had Iowa like seven instead of five. Let me pull it up here. Bear with me. There's some funny tweets through here. How about the Mike Gundy holding up the paper?
That was pretty good.
Okay, here's the mock rankings. Clemson 1, Ohio State 2, Alabama 3, Oklahoma State 4, Notre Dame 5, Baylor 6, Iowa 7th, Stanford 8th. That's way more accurate to me, isn't it?
Yeah,
you got one loss Stanford behind all the undefeateds.
You still have the built-in Ohio State bias because you're including the polls, which
right, yeah, that's
which,
true.
Which
the
also,
polls matter.
Yeah, which also have the.
That's how Alabama beat Oklahoma State in 2011. It was only the polls. It was only bias and all that crap.
But aren't we trying to get rid of the? I mean, isn't this like exactly what we're trying to get rid of? Is just ranking Ohio State number three because they're Ohio State? Like, isn't that why the committee was created? And yet. And that's just what keeps happening.
It's only made it worse, yeah. Really.
Yeah.
It's just, I hate it. I would much rather go back to the old BCS than this crap. And I think you mentioned it in your 10 thoughts, which everyone needs to go read. It's hilarious. How funny/sad would it be if Oklahoma State kills the old BCS, which they did basically in 2011, and they kill the 14 playoff and it goes to 8 because they get screwed twice?
It would be... I think it would be more sad than funny, but I'm kind of, well, I can't say.
No, you're not.
I'm not rooting for it. I would rather have an 18 playoff. I've said that all along, but I mean, this would be, oh my gosh. Can you imagine? Can you think about the drama of the Sun? I think it's December 6th when the final thing comes out. It's like a Sunday, like afternoon or morning or whatever.
Yeah.
Think about the drama of, let's say Stanford has just beaten Notre Dame and Utah. Oklahoma State's 12-0, and think about like they release the first three, and it's Clemson, Ohio State, Bama, and we're waiting on the fourth one. I will be having a heart attack waiting to see who is in that fourth slot.
I don't even want to think about that. But Kyle, here's what happens if I'm running things. If an undefeated Oklahoma State gets left out, if I'm Mike Holder, I call Joe Castiglione. I say, hey, Joe, let's meet on neutral turf. I'll meet you in Guthrie. There's a great barbecue joint in Guthrie. Let's meet there. We're leaving this crap behind. Me and you, we're going to the SEC. This conference is a dying thing. It has no respect nationally. Let's get the heck out of the Big 12 and go to the SEC. You like that or not?
Well, would David Boren and Burns Hargis be there, or would they be just?
Well, the two athletic directors will then take it to, you know, their bosses. But it all starts with those two.
I love it. I think
if that happens, get the hell out of the Big 12. It's a joke.
I think that would be a lot of fun, and I mean the issue there is then you'd have to start like kind of repping the SEC, which whatever. I like the tradition of the SEC. I don't like the sort of outsized expectations for how these SEC teams are going to perform in the postseason based on their history or their tradition. I think that's silliness. But I do like their traditions and the teams and the campuses. I think it's got some – I mean, it's really cool. I like it a lot. I think it would be a blast.
Well, the Big 12 is dying. It's dying a slow death, and the perception of it – is that it stinks. It gets no respect. If an undefeated team doesn't make it, it's an abomination. You gotta blow it up. You gotta say, we gotta get the hell out of here. This is terrible. And I'm sorry, I'd much rather go to Tuscaloosa than Manhattan, Kansas any day.
Yeah. It would be incredible if a 12-0 Big 12 team got. We got a long way to go though. We got three.
Yeah, like, and that's another thing. Like, it's, I got way too fired up for a ranking that doesn't matter.
yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, Nate Silver said this on 538. He's like, Oklahoma State's going to get in not because if they go 12-0, not because they're necessarily going to jump teams, because there's going to be a lot of teams that lose, maybe including Oklahoma State or Baylor or whoever. And it only takes one. You know, it takes everybody to win out to keep Oklahoma State out, but it only takes one to lose to get them in. And I think we're going to see carnage over the next couple weeks.
Well, and I'm predicting that everyone ends up with one loss in the Big 12. I think OSU will stumble somewhere. I don't know which game, but I think the Big 12 is going to cannibalize itself and they're going to get left out again. That's kind of the way I'm seeing this play out.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's going to be fun either way.
But I'll just end with this. Just Sunday night is like the best night for Sunday night. I told you I'm not feeling well, Kyle. Tuesday night, when the rankings come out, has become like must-see comedy night. The things that Jeff Long says, the rationale, everything about it is just hilarious to me.
Yeah, it's great. And Twitter's amazing, and the whole thing is just spectacular.
It's laugh-out-loud funny, of the rationale they're coming up with. I gotta go, Kyle. I gotta get my body clock in order.
That sounds good. We'll reconvene tomorrow.
All right.
Okay, talk to you later.